John, we do have a quorum at this time.
Excellent. Sherry, thank you so very much. I would like to welcome everybody to the meeting, call it to order, and we could start with the roll call. Sherry?
Okay, on myself, the telephone, myself, Sherry Schaefer, Fire Marshal Kyle Green, Ms. Tammy Gogia Cockrell, Master Sergeant Simon Ryder, Mr. Bobby Carter, Mr. Rick Williams, Ms. Mary Herman, Mr. Tom Rockwell, Master Sergeant Zachary Murdoff, Mr. Jim Goodman, Mr. Henry Cole, Mr. Zach Haas, Mr. Tim Tomet, Ms. Naomi Ulrich, Mr. Mike Hawkins, Mr. Chris Martin. Is there anybody else on the phone whose name I have not called?
Keith Berrien.
Thank you, Deputy Chief Keith Berrien. Anyone else on the phone whose name I have not called? Okay, present in Anchorage so far, I have Mr. Paul Fussy. Who else is present in Anchorage?
Scott Stromo. Scott Nelson. Nick Fastock.
David Reed.
Mark Newman.
Okay, that completes the roll call.
Again, thank you very much, Sherry. And before I get on with the meeting, I would like to thank Tammy Gogia Cockrell for running the meeting last time. Thank you very much, Tammy. And at this time, I'd like to have a motion for approval of the September meeting minutes. Hopefully everybody got a chance to review those. Are there any questions, additions, changes, or updates? Hearing none, I entertain a motion to approve.
Jim Goodman.
Thank you, Jim. And a second, please.
Scott Nelson.
Thank you, Scott. Hearing none, updates. September meeting minutes approved. We can move on to the review of the issues and risks log. Sherry, are there any updates that you could highlight for us, please?
Yes. So I have to make my screen just a little bit bigger so I can read this. The appointment of the JBEAR representatives has changed. The new appointment letter was received on September 7th. And the Executive Council approved those appointments on the 13th. That is under the active council issues. And on September 28th, Chief Heath Scott retired. So the alternate Southeast representative position is now vacant. Under the active operational issues, the Clear to Cobia Hop replacement is in progress right now. The R1 North to Alcantara hop was completed on September 29th. Those issues will also close. And for OP15 and OP16, Scott, you had requested those remain on the issues in risk log for one more month. And just to make sure nothing happened, and requesting permission to close those as well.
That was to Mr. Scott Stormo, Sherry?
Yes, sir.
They've been running for about a month. If we can close those at this point.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sherry.
Mr. Richter just came into the room here in Anchorage.
Thank you.
We could move on to the next agenda item, which is the operations management overview, and I turn it over to Mr. Paul Fussy. Paul?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, everybody. So starting out with my report, we'll go with the outreach. So right now, our membership agreements, we have 121 that are final. Two are non-responsive. We're working on those. We do have 11 federal non-DOD that are pending final signature. Sherry and I have been working with those entities to try and get those finalized. So we're trying to set up another meeting with those. And there will be the 30-day termination notification letters will be sent out tomorrow for non-compliant agencies. So the two that are non-responsive, I've talked to them, and we're working on that. So hopefully those will be resolved by next week. We did have the town hall, which was held on September 16th, and the recording has been posted to the website. And been working on other agencies and other interest groups. So I attended the monthly Municipal League infrastructure meeting on September 19th. I also attended the monthly APIP meeting, which is Alaska Partnership for Infrastructure Protection meeting, on September 21st. And then I also attended the APOA, which is the Alaska Police Officers Association meeting, on October 3rd. And then I've also set up and I will be attending the Articon 2023, which is on 12 October. And that is Alaska's Information Security Conference. That will be held downtown Anchorage here. And then when talking to our ALMR members, some of the information I've been talking to them about are any concerns with the current upgrade work, any downtown that they've been seeing, the TDMA radios, the processes, where to find that on the website, how to make sure that when they're ordering the radios, if they're TDMA capable, make sure they're coming TDMA functioned. And then also what is on the website and the training videos. Moving over to September document reviews, the social media account use policy procedure, asset management policy procedure, and also the cooperative and mutual aid agreement policy procedure have been updated. Any questions before I move over to the September metrics? Hearing none. Sherry, can you see my screen okay?
Yes, you're still up.
All right, thank you. So we start looking at the group individual calls. We are at 1.4 million, which is just a little bit higher than last month. Our monthly push to talks, we're at 2.3 million, which once again is higher than last year. Our monthly busies, as you can see, been dropping precipitously this year. So our busies were at 253, which is phenomenal. We're at 0.001%. And with all the work that's been going on with the upgrade project, with the PMIs, our sites below 3.9 have been steady from last month. And it runs a gamut as to why the sites are below 3.9, and as we'll see when we go to the next slide. So the sites that were down, PMIs were quite a few, some back. Yes.
The slides aren't changing. There we go.
Are you seeing the 3.9s now, Sherry?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So some of them are beyond our control. If you look at the GCI circuit failures, which are Pillar Mountain, Sitka, Woman's Bay, it just happens when we have an outside carrier on that one. But we do have the PMIs in there in the backhaul, which are just a regular maintenance on there. Any questions on the monthly metrics at all in the slide? Hearing nothing, I'll continue on. So with our website, we've been promoting it every month and getting more and more. So we had 224 users this past month, 88% were new, and a lot of them have been focusing on the policies and procedures, the training videos, and also what radio they can get and TDMA. Moving on to our other, like I said, this has been kind of a busy month. So Motorola representatives came over and gave a new product presentation. That was on September 26th. The SMO and I, we tested and certified the Bendit King BKR 9000 portable that is now listed on our website. It is TDMA capable. And if you hover over the model number, there's a hyperlink that will pop up, which will have the manual on there, just like every other radio. I attended the webinar on public safety radio uplinks, and that focused on radio interfaces, BDAs, and building structures. Very informative. And then with the cybersecurity month coming up this month, I attended the virtual training for the AI, artificial intelligence, and ML with a machine learning risk for public sector. So it's very informative on what is out there and what threats might be out there for the systems. As a friendly reminder, the executive council meeting will be on October 9th. That'll be at 1:30 to 3:30. If you go on the ALMR website, there'll be the links on that one there. And Sherry will have the agenda. Also, the ALMR quarterly newsletter will be sent out on October 16th, and that will be subsequently also on our website. One thing as a final thought here before I turn it over to Mr. Fonestock, the information system and sanitation cleaning and sanitation, the policy and procedure, which is 200-4 on the ALMR website, if you go under our policies and procedures. So when agencies are going and turning in a subscriber request to have their radios deleted from the system, and they're deleted from the ALMR system, they've got their reports back, the agencies need to maintain and to make sure that they're scrubbed and sanitized. What I mean by that is we take them off the system, we complete the subscriber request. However, it's up to the agency to make sure that their portables, mobiles, or whatever radios have been deleted off the system have been completely scrubbed, so the code plugs, the talk groups, and the encryption have been removed from those radios if they are going to sell them or get rid of them. So that's all I have, Mr. Chair, pending any questions.
Thank you very much, Paul. Are there any questions for Mr. Fussy? Again, thanks, Paul. We can move now on to the System Management Office and turn it over to Mr. Fanestock. Nick?
Thank you, John. Paul pretty much covered the policy part that I was going to mention. Outside of that, just the my guys are doing PMIs, as you saw in the nines. Right now, they're in the Cordova area, hitting up those sites. So outside of that, I've got nothing new to add.
Short and sweet. Thanks, Nick. Any questions for Nick at this time? The next agenda item is the State of Alaska and Department of Defense overviews. Scott, would you start us out, please?
Unfortunately, watching the snow come down the mountains, which means kind of an end to our opportunity to do work, especially at the high sites. So nothing major sitting out there that we didn't get to. Hopefully it stays that way. We're going to start pushing out to get the TDMA flash upgrades done. My team will be doing the state radios. We have handed out most of the flash upgrades to the local government agencies that we had those for. I think we have about less than 10 still to get distributed. So if you haven't seen any of those and either meant you didn't have any radios on the system at the time that came with the flash upgrade as part of our $24 million purchase, or or we've already given them to you. So we should be getting those out here shortly. If you've got any questions on how to execute those flash upgrades on your radios, there should have been a sheet in the package that kind of had some instructions and some people to contact if you needed any assistance or questions on that. We got radio management installed a couple weeks ago, finally on the system, which will, at least for the initial phase, allow us to program state trooper radios that we purchased with that licensing and capability. The way we're set up right now, it can just be small changes to a code plug, not big changes yet, but we're trying to work with the IT side to figure out how to be able to use Wi-Fi, which will allow us to push firmware updates, flash upgrades, large changes to the code plugs, allow you to do quite a bit remotely, which in at least in our case, since we have state customers all over the state, troopers, DOT, that has pretty good potential of saving us a lot of time driving around the state to service people's radios and update code plugs. Maybe not as big of a deal if you're a small group and all your radios are right there in your firehouse, but it is potentially an option for others to be able to pursue using in the future once we get it figured out. And if you're interested, you can reach out to us or Motorola and we can have a conversation about what that may or may not be able to do for you. And that is all I have, unless there's any questions.
Any questions for Scott? Scott, I want to thank you for all the work you've been doing, especially the power issues and generators that you've been having to work on and replace and work contracts. And you just wanted to, for the record, state that you're doing an excellent job, and I appreciate it. Are there any updates on, like, the Motorola, you know, the Connect software or the acceptance of any of the functionality that we've been working on recently?
No word on the FedRAMP authorization that I've seen. So, and we on there maybe haven't said it yet, but at the MTUG conference, we got the opportunity to corner some high ups in Motorola. And so we got to talk to at least one of the guys that kind of started the FedRAMP process for Smart Connect and got put in touch with the person who's more tightly tied to that status right now. And there is nothing more at the moment as to when it would be done. I think they are expecting it to be soon, just based on how they've seen other people flow through the process. But the FedRAMP, federal government group that does that work, is not really have like a list of where they are on the process. So it's in the office, the final kind of step of the office, assuming it passes. I hope to be seeing something here in the next month or so.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Scott. You know, I would like to maybe put a tickler out there where when we do get close with the Smart Connect, that we could have Motorola do another demonstration of some of the functionality where we can use the APX radios with the, like, the 9000s and whether the SIM and or some of the functionality on utilizing some of the other technologies like push-to-talk via the Wi-Fi or such, because I think there's going to be some functionality that if we don't remind ourselves of that, we won't take advantage of. So maybe that can go just a tickler to you, Paul, that one of the meetings, the post meetings after our ALMR meeting, we can get someone from Motorola to do that.
I'll work on that, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. Moving on to DOD, I did not hear Tim's voice earlier. Tim, did you join us late, or is there anybody from the DOD office that would like to speak at this time?
Mr. Chair, this is Paul. No one in the room here.
Thank you very much, Paul. So we could move on to the user council representative updates, starting with the State of Alaska components. DOT, anybody from DOT that'd like to update or give us an update?
This is Henry Cole. Don't have anything to add at this time, but thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cole. DPS, I don't have any updates either, and I don't think I heard Ben online. Oh, I'm sorry. Ben, you are. Any updates?
As was discussed, the remote radio management that was discussed, our first batch of radios is over there. The first batch of portables that we're getting ready to issue to the field, APX 6000s, and they're getting those ready before we release them to have that software on them. And we'll keep bringing them over there to get that installed before we issue any out to the field. So it's ready when it goes online.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Lieutenant. Looking at the next bullet, all others, Mr. Nelson.
I have nothing new at this time.
Well, thank you. We can move to the DOD components now. Anybody from U.S. Army installations?
Yes, Master Sergeant Ryder, I've got nothing significant to report this week.
Thank you, sir. And how about J-Bear?
This is Sergeant Murdiff. I have nothing.
Moving to Eielson.
Nothing from Eielson.
Thank you, gentlemen. Moving on to the federal non-DOD component. DOJ, DOI, or all others?
From the TSA, nothing for the good of the order. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And the municipal component, we could start with Tammy.
Hello, everyone. I don't have anything to bring to the group today. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Tammy. And Deputy Chief Keith?
It'll be me today, Kyle Green, speaking for us. Just want to thank, say thanks for the update about shaking the tree for FedRAMP and continuing on that, like what the heck is going on. I appreciate any day now, but we've also been hearing any day. So I would ask that a tickler also be put there for this group's awareness of what other additional user needs are going to be present to actually engage in the Motorola system when that's able to be turned on, and having those discussions as soon as we know that date and any additional requirements that would be required of the users to be able to engage in that system. Other than that, UFD has deployed and is operating off of the APX 8000s for our portables, and we are ready to engage and assist with that onboarding of the Smart Connect system, utilizing the Wi-Fi side of it, because our portals can do that. So we want to be a part of that test and trial, and we look forward to contributing where we can. All we have for the North. Thanks.
Thank you, Kyle. No, and I appreciate your enthusiasm. I too am looking forward to it and looking at how we can continue on looking at the connected vehicle, right, where we can basically use some of the technology that we're already deploying with Wi-Fi and different types of antennas. And then with that, connecting the radios and any other type of paraphernalia that might be out there that you're using, whether it's, heart monitors on EMS or dash cams for police type things. So, yeah, thank you for your enthusiasm. Anybody from Southeast at this time? Hearing none, we can open it up for new business. Do we have any new business that we'd like to bring up?
Mr. Richter would like to speak.
Thank you, Paul. That's what I was going to mention. Bruce, put it up to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Bruce Richter from Department of Homeland Security, and I just wanted to give a couple of updates that I think are of general interest to the group. Number one, the next FEMA Region 10 Regional Emergency Communications Working Group will be November 18th down in Bothell, but also virtually for anybody that wants to participate. And as we get closer to that time, we'll share the agenda and the meeting link so it can be distributed widely. I just got back from CISA Region 10 All Hands meeting down in Seattle, and we had a couple of interesting briefings that I think are worth sharing with this group. One of them was from a representative from the insurance industry, and her particular area of expertise was cyber insurance. They are seeing explosive demand both in victimization across government agencies, business entities, nonprofits, and they are seeing such a demand that they are limiting availability of coverage unless entities take on some of the initial cyber hygiene steps for themselves. And this is, October is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Your elected governor issued a proclamation on October 1st supporting that for the state of Alaska. And also, just very recently, the tribal cybersecurity grant program opened up, which potentially is available for 270 Alaska communities to take advantage of. But in that grant program, which ties in with the state and local cybersecurity grant program that's been ongoing, it kind of lays out some of the basic recommended steps for building into a cybersecurity plan. And you can get more information on that online at CISA.gov. But those are some recent events that I thought might be of interest to this group. So thank you for the time, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Bruce. I appreciate your updates as always. Are there any questions from the group for Bruce? How about any other new business at this time?
Yeah, hi, John. This is Sherry. I just wanted to let everybody know that October is the beginning of the annual election process for the chair and the vice chair positions. We do the nominations in October, and then we do voting in November. So the selectees can be announced in December and take office in January. So after this meeting, I'll be sending out the email notification to all the members. If you're new to the process, the email is pretty explanatory on what you need to do. When you respond, only respond to me. We don't announce who we're nominating or who's chosen until December. So I just wanted to make everybody aware of that.
Excellent, Sherry. Thank you so very much for that update. How about any other new business? Hearing none, how about any questions or comments for the good of the order? What are you guys doing out there? How are you using a system? What a quiet group. All right, well, at this point, I can announce the next meetings are scheduled for November 1st and December 6th, and I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Ms. Kyle Green, so moved.
Kyle Green, thank you so very much. In a second.
Henry Cole, I'll second.
Thank you, gentlemen. We are now adjourned.